Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Junkies back with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington as well, if you want to check us out on TV. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Wednesday morning, July 8th, 2020. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Good morning. Johnny Cakes Allville's there.
Hello, good morning.
What's up, Cakesy?
What's up?
And Jason Bishop.
What's going on, fellers?
Just another hump day. Although it's not really hump day because we have to do Saturday shows, right?
Hey, have you started thinking about guests for that show yet?
I actually told my wife last night, I was like, oh, I forgot we got to do Saturday shows. Jason's probably going to start texting me.
I was thinking about today. Are you guys for sure working together? Do we know who's working with who?
I think they sent out the email last week. They're usually like a week in advance.
Really?
Yeah.
This is.
I'm not positive, but.
This is also. Here's another issue with doing the Saturday shows. I really wanted to coach my daughter's old travel softball team this weekend in Richmond. Now, I was going to miss the Friday games. They're playing Friday night. I was going to miss those. But Saturday, they have games at 12:30 and 2:45. And I was like, well, I got to do the show 9 to 12. Maybe I can just go down to Richmond.
Do it from there.
Find a router somewhere, and then go straight from whenever the show's over, right to the field. But where am I going to go? I don't know where to go. How am I going to find a router?
I don't know. It's tough. Just to find a random router.
It's not going to happen. I mean, I got a buddy who lives in Richmond, but I don't want to bother him.
Do you have a Wi-Fi setup on yours? Like mine is a Wi-Fi setup.
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Yeah. I don't think mine has one of those. Mine looks ancient.
It's just my point. So every weekend's hijacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, that's the way it is. But at least we get ours done early Saturday morning from 9 till noon.
So
and I do have a couple of ideas. I just thought of one. So I'll work on it during the show.
I don't think next weekend's has been sent. We had the week of June 22nd, and then he sent for the following weekend. I mean, if he did send it,
I assume it's going to be the same.
You guys seem to be pretty locked in.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a floater.
Yeah, you are a floater.
I never know who I'm going to work with.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's not technically a hump day when you have to work on the weekend.
Right.
Yeah. But the weekend shows are a pain, there's no question, but I don't really care. So, we just go out there and have fun.
Well, I care when it comes to situations like this.
Yeah, right. When you want to get out.
Right.
Yeah, no, I understand.
So anyway,
I think I might have to coach on Saturday too. I had a conversation with the commissioner of Dillon's Flag Football League, and he wanted to see if we were still in, because basically they just took the money that was poured in for the spring season, and then they asked parents if there is a summer season, would you like to just move it to the summer? And typically there isn't a summer season, but they're scrambling. But they changed their policies. Instead of having a season where you're playing a bunch of teams and playing a bunch of games, it's more like a clinic. So I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I think it might start this weekend or next weekend. Mm. But that's usually afternoon. I won't even worry about it.
So anyway, just start thinking about the five or six guests that we need to book for Saturday.
Five or six.
Plus two taped interviews.
I'd like to use Wilbon.
Oh!
Wilbon was good. Yeah.
Dagger to the like heart right there.
It's like a shotgun situation. The first person who calls the interview.
You know what? I like Sean Springs.
All right. Sean was good actually yesterday. Yeah. Yeah.
I like Sean. One.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. You take Wilbon. We'll take Springs.
All right. Usually the guys I work with, they don't even really like to play taped interviews, though, to be honest with you.
Oh, they don't?
Yeah.
JP and I do.
Yeah. I like it, too. If I worked with Danny, Danny's all about it. When I work with Chad and with GP, those guys usually, they prefer
they don't
to
want
just
to,
keep
they just
rocking.
Want to do all live stuff.
I do like the taped interview to end the show.
It's a great
I've done that at least once.
Yeah, that's usually
maybe
our move.
Twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
The 11:40 taped interview is, look, chef's kiss. Mwah. Uh-huh. It's a thing of beauty.
That's right. Usually what Jason and I like to call our transition interview.
Yes.
It's a transition into whoever's following us next.
Sure. Yeah. Makes sense.
Well, on this show, we have a couple of guests. John Herman's going to join us, who we talked to probably 2 months ago. He's the chief legal officer for Novavax.
I don't know if I want to talk to him because I'm so distraught that I didn't invest.
That's, well, you still can.
Yeah, but I missed the boat. That stock's is gone to the moon.
What's
JP?
It, 104, 104 bucks?
They don't just
like
stop making money if it's
I
good.
I know, but I just feel.
I know what you mean.
I like getting in on the ground floor, EB.
Well, the government,
as much
do,
as I
though.
Can.
The government just gave them a grant for $1.6 billion.
Right.
That's with the B.
Yeah, $1.6 billion.
To develop a COVID vaccine. So we'll talk to John Herman, who's a local.
We could have had $1 billion if we were smart and pooled all of our money and bought Novavax a month ago.
Also, our pal Chris Miller from NBC Sports Washington is going to join us. We could talk about the Wizards with him. He also has a digital video series entitled Race in America. So we'll talk to Chris Miller about that at 8:40. And Jameer Nelson is going to make an appearance.
Oh,
Jameer Nelson, former NBA All-Star. I guess he made the All-Star team in 2004, played many years
in
the NBA. He'll join us coming up at 9:20.
His son plays at GW.
Right, and he's dipped into the world of podcasting, so we can talk to him about that, talk to him about the NBA's return. Yesterday, I think they made it official, Bradley Beal is not going to return for the Wizards in the end of the NBA season for the Washington Wizards, where they have a very outside chance of making it into the playoffs. But I think when Bradley Beal's not going to play for you, it's pretty much zero.
I mean, if I were Tommy Shepard and company, I would seriously discuss just pulling the plug. I would say I know it disrupts the entire schedule that they've laid out for the teams that are restarting in the bubble, but I'm more concerned with my team if I'm Tommy Shepard. And if Bertans isn't there and Beal's not there and you already have a microscopic chance of winning anyway and getting into the playoffs, I'm saying, you know what? I'm sitting this one out. Not sending my players.
You don't want to see Rui develop and Troy Brown Jr.
develop? No.
Develop over eight games with no one cares.
I don't need to see that. I've seen enough. I've seen enough of the development. Those guys can develop in the Vegas summer league if they need
you
to.
You pull your team from what the NBA is doing. Did an MLS team?
Yes.
I haven't followed it that closely.
Like 10 guys tested positive for COVID, and they said, well, we can't continue, so we have to pull the plug.
Well, that's a monkey wrench to the tournament.
Maybe Dallas FC, that MLS team.
Yeah, I think
team.
It was the Dallas team.
Yeah, but even if none of my guys are testing positive for the virus, I'm shutting them down.
You don't think it's worth it to get the young guys to get some reps, though?
No. It's not worth it.
It might not be.
It's not
be.
Worth the potential
it's probably
for
not.
Them getting exposed.
But the only thing is you're taking money out of their pockets because even though it's only eight games, they're going to make some money for it.
Yeah.
I would still pay them. I would pay my players, and I would say, you guys are getting a paid vacation. You're not. I'm paying
you'd
you not.
You'd be a great owner. You'd be a great owner, Cakes.
I'd be a silly owner. I'd be a way better owner than that Donk Dan Snyder. Way better.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
That's the lowest bar ever.
All I have to do to be better than Dan Snyder is show up. I just have to be breathing.
Right. So, I'd love to play for you, Cakes.
So Scotty Brooks and the team, they're already in Orlando, correct?
I think so. I think they flew out there yesterday or the day before. Yeah,
and then
there
they got
there
just...
were pictures of them, you know, arriving, whatever, in their masks and everything.
So then they have to self quarantine for 48 hours.
Yeah,
I guess they do some testing and then.
Yeah,
I think they were tweeting out that Troy Brown is going to be playing. I think it's one of the Call of Duty games, just with Donk Wizards fans because he's holed up in his Disney hotel room. He can't go anywhere.
Why wouldn't you? You got to do something to entertain yourself.
It makes sense.
It's what my kid's been doing for the last few weeks, just sitting around playing. Well, actually, so the whole quarantine and since his surgery, he just sits around and plays video games all the time.
Sure. By the way, on a side note, I wish I had invented the – I couldn't, of course, because I can't invent anything. The Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
So popular in this house. It gets passed around all the time.
Explain.
Kid to kid to kid.
It's just a little handheld game. I don't know.
Handheld mobile device by Nintendo. You can either play it on the device or you can cast it to the TV and play it like as a console. Wildly popular. Can't buy them anymore.
It's actually pretty convenient for kids, especially like if you go to the beach for a week, you don't want to lug your whole Xbox or whatever.
Just
bring your little Switch, and that'll entertain the kids. Yeah, we got one of those.
I had to take my, speaking of kids, I had to take my youngest daughter to get a COVID test yesterday.
Oh, I had to do that yesterday, too.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
Yeah, I took it. Dee and I took it. I want to talk to you about it.
Well, the reason was I didn't take it, but I took my daughter because she was at a birthday party for a friend of hers who... They found out that there was a kid that was there who was exposed to it. Who was positive. So they were worried that they were exposed to it.
Right.
So all these girls were freaking out. And so she said, let me just go. And she's negative. She's fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I had to do that yesterday.
So did you do the rapid test then?
Yeah,
the
rapid.
Tests right away?
That's test results are like 15 minutes.
Yeah, we got ours in like 20. But I had to pay $90. For it. Did you get a better deal than that?
I think they're just going to... They didn't even tell me. They didn't charge me anything. I guess they're just going to bill me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was $90. So my daughter had to do it for Dive. And my wife and I yesterday were both feeling a little like coldy.
Uh-oh. A little poopy.
Yeah, and I was getting a little unnerved by it, and she was getting unnerved by it. And I just felt like... You know, I've had a runny nose the last couple of days. So, you know what? I definitely have like a little bit of cold symptoms. And she has been complaining for the last 4 or 5 days, too. So we said, we got ourselves all worked up. And we said, let's just take it with Kate because Kate has to take it for her Dive team.
Mm-hmm.
And so we drove all the way out to Annandale.
Ooh.
And I got to tell you, this guy was awesome. Although he was in our nostrils, I'm telling you, he did. Now, he says he does both nostrils to make sure he gets a good result. He was in each nostril maybe 15 seconds.
Ooh.
Each one. He's in there all along.
And he was pretty
gentle.
Deep. He was deep?
He goes in there slow, but he goes in there for a long time. I mean, my buddy had taken one over there and said, yeah, it's like 2 to 3 seconds. Not with this guy. It was like my daughter actually videotaped it. She wanted to put it on TikTok. Or, you know, not videotape it, whatever, with her phone. She recorded it with her phone. And it's like 15 seconds in each nostril, but we did pay like $90 each. So I paid $270 yesterday just to get the results instantly. But they did say all three negative, so that was good.
Yeah,
it was a bit of relief. So come over and hang out with us. We're COVID-free over here,
COVID
at least for
free.
Today.
Yeah, this house is COVID-free.
Until I get exposed free. The next time I go, you know, pick up groceries or something.
Well, then I just told my daughters, like, look, if you're worried about this, which you obviously were.
Get the test, yeah.
Well, I just said, look, just pick a few friends, like 2 or 3 friends that she's been hanging out with that are all, and they've all tested negative. Just hang out with them. Don't go into these
parties.
Tighten
your circle up. Yeah.
Yeah. Tighten it up. And,
yeah. You know. You got to nix parties. Who's having parties?
It was her friend's 18th birthday. And she's tight with her, and she felt bad if she said no.
Yeah. There's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
There is. I'm trying to get my son not to go to the rodeo. He wants to go to the rodeo this weekend, like his first venture out in a while.
Yeah.
I don't know where they host these things.
Is that up past Frederick? Because my son's been to that a few times.
It must
be.
I mean, there
can't be that many rodeos in Maryland.
I thought it was like Showplace Arena or something.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
I don't think it is. I think it's outdoor. He doesn't know where it is. It's probably where you're talking about.
Yep.
And I guess a lot of kids have been going to this road. I don't know. What's the appeal there? I truly don't know what the appeal is.
If you like watching, like, calf roping or, I guess, people riding bulls, I guess that's the appeal.
Yeah, but are they, like, letting 18-year-olds drink or something? Like, what's the deal? Like, why are so many, like, young
kids?
Probably
something different.
I don't think they have that loophole at a rodeo. You can
I wouldn't think so, but what's the appeal? I just don't get the appeal.
This is weird. Some people are into rodeo.
Yeah.
They just are.
I think these kids are like, here's what it is.
For suburban kids, like Stevie sheltered. And my son, it's a novelty act.
Yeah.
It's something that, how would my son ever have been exposed to a rodeo growing up with me?
Now, is that Kurt that's been going or Brendan that's been going?
Kurt has gone. I mean, he doesn't go regularly. He's probably gone twice or three times since he's 16.
Yeah.
He's done it with a buddy.
Those are probably parking lot brewskis.
They could be. Road sodas.
Maybe a little tailgate.
Yeah, sounds like a good tailgate opportunity.
A little tailgate
action. It might be.
I think Dukes went.
That's probably what it is. I just can't figure out what the appeal is.
Dukes went to bull riding earlier this year, last year, and he said it was the best sporting event he's been to.
I get a little bit sized for it. If I see bull riding on TV, I will spend 5 or 10 minutes with it.
Well, what's the difference between bull riding and a rodeo? I don't know the difference.
Well, rodeos just.
Well, rodeos are the horses.
Well, rodeo is all encompassing. I think it includes like bull riding, calf roping,
horses,
other events.
Right.
But bull riding is when
bucking broncos.
You strap onto the back of a 2,000-pound bull whose name is always like Lucifer or Thunder Road, and it just looks like it wants to kill you.
Yeah,
right.
And those guys, I don't know how they do it.
I don't see the appeal either. But it's something different.
It's
got to
be. It's probably a tailgate thing. That's probably what it is.
All right, boys, got to take a break. Phone number, if you want to chime in on anything, 800-636-1067. You can always tweet us at Junks Radio. Text the fan on the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Standard message and data charges may apply. Coming up next, we open up the Junkie Sports page here on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Time now to open up the Junkies Sports page, which is brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Go to vanmeterhomes.com today, and you can let their family build a home for yours.
That's right. Van Meter Homes, JP.
Do it.
Van Meter Homes.
I know Jason's going to do the sports page. I don't know when I'll be able to sneak this story in. I just want to do it real quick. You know, Alan Dershowitz is like a weirdo to me, right? And
how old is Alan Dershowitz now?
I think he might be like 81
something. He's up there.
He's up there, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, the guy's just a weirdo. His name's been mentioned, I guess, because he was Epstein's lawyer, and he apparently got a massage at one point. He claimed he kept his clothes on, but he got a massage.
Oh.
But now you think, well, that's kind of creepy. And now you see this dude. Apparently, he likes to go to nude beaches, cakes, and sunbathes.
Dershowitz,
but because of COVID,
I mean, he's not European. That's kind of weird.
And because of COVID, he hasn't been seen at his favorite nude beach in Martha's Vineyard for months.
Wait a second. Hold on. Wait.
Yes.
I've never been to Martha's Vineyard, but I've heard it's very nice. It's supposed to be classy. They have a nude beach in Martha's Vineyard?
Yes. I had no idea either.
Changing my opinion of that whole area. Like that.
I had no idea.
I've been to Martha's. It's been years, but I've been to Martha's Vineyard.
My mom worked there one summer. At Martha's Vineyard.
I feel like I have to go to. I feel like I have to go to Martha's Vineyard and or Cape Cod at some point.
Yeah,
just to check them out.
I agree. It seems like a hassle. Seems like it's a pain in the ass to get there.
The closest I've been was when we went to Boston for the Sam Adams beer trip. When was
20
that?
20 years ago?
1999, 98.
We were a nighttime show, right?
Yeah. It's quite a while ago.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, doesn't that just blow you away that Alan Dershowitz likes nude beaches? And now it makes me think, well, maybe he's even creepier than I thought. You know what I mean?
Sounds like it.
Dude, if anybody, you're 81 and you go to nude beaches.
I think anybody who wants to go to a nude beach is just weird.
I can.
I don't mind, gawking and walking by, like, the nude beach in Miami and seeing the people walk by. But I can't actually see myself dropping drawers and laying out and that being part of my regular. He's a known nude beacher.
The only place that I've been where I don't even think it was nude. It was just, as Valdez loves to say, topless was in Aruba. And it kind of threw me. I was like, whoa, Aruba, yeah. I saw when I was down there for the poker tournament of 4 or 5 years ago. You definitely notice it.
Right.
But it wasn't full nude. It was T-O-P-L-E-S-S, topless.
Uh-huh.
Right.
That's funny to poor people.
Did you see that story?
What, right? I didn't know that.
Dershowitz is into nude beaches?
I can see the it being very liberating.
How does that get out?
I don't know. Apparently he's just been known for it.
He just starts talking about it?
No, I think people have seen him.
You spy him.
They just know. And, you know, they whisper about him because, you know, his name's been in this whole Epstein thing for years because he was his old attorney. And, you know, he has admitted getting a massage at one of his places. I don't know if it's the island. I don't know where the hell he got the massage.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then one of the ladies, I think, actually says that she had sex with him. And he, you know, he keeps challenging her on air and saying, I dare you to show a video. I dare you to, you know.
He's doing the video or it didn't happen bit. He's doing that.
He's saying it didn't happen, but she's saying it did. And then he says, release all the videos. If you recorded everything, release all. I hereby give you permission to release all the videos.
By the way, what's the point of getting a massage with your clothes on? That doesn't feel good.
I used to get massages like that at work. Get my clothes on.
You got to get skin on skin.
Have you done that?
What, massages?
Yeah, and you get butt naked?
Well, you don't get butt naked. You just... I mean, you take your shirt off, and they rub you with the oil, and there's no point. Why would you get a massage, like, on your calves when you're with your jeans on? That doesn't
Well, not with your jeans on. No. He said he was in his underwear.
Hey, Valdez, right, when I give you shoulder rubs, why are you keeping your shirt on?
T-O-P-L-E-S-S.
We should take it to the next level when we see each other again.
I'll take my shirt off next time.
Yeah, you got to get the oil in there.
We need to consummate.
Right.
We gotta have some baby oil around here.
Baby oil too, yeah. Baby. Put that on the list.
All right, let's do this sports page, boys. All right, so we talked about Bradley Beal. The Wizards traveled to Orlando. I think they got there Tuesday morning. And what are we on Wednesday? Yeah, so yesterday morning. And Bradley Beal will not play in Orlando. He says that he's been dealing with a shoulder injury pretty much all year, and he said, you know, it just doesn't make sense for me. It's not worth it.
So shoulder injury.
Yeah. We're going to sit out the rest of the season due to the rotator cuff injury that he suffered. So he will not be playing. Of course, Davis Bertans will not be playing, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think that the shoulder injury, I don't know the extent of it, but it would get me nervous. Just in the history of this franchise, didn't Chris Webber, when he was here, have a shoulder injury that he didn't want to have surgery on, and ultimately he had to have surgery?
Yeah, same exact thing.
Kept popping out.
Right. Seems like Bradley Beal is going that route. And, you know, maybe he'll be able to rehab and it'll be fine, but it just would worry me that a lot of times they end up wasting several months and then they end up having the surgery anyway.
Well, you're trying to avoid the surgery because it's a major surgery.
I understand.
Did Brad's shoulder ever dislocate?
I don't think
he talked about that.
If it dislocated, then he's doomed. Because at his age, especially playing basketball, I mean, that's where my son's dislocated. I mean, it's
we'll have
he's
to ask
doomed.
Coach Brooks.
Yeah.
All I know is EB's boy, Garrison Matthews, is going to get a lot of run.
Oh, yeah. I'm psyched. Is he going to play? Is he on the roster?
Well, I mean, if Bertans and Beal aren't going,
I think, yeah, I'm
he's
sure
on the
go-go.
He's on the two-way deal with the go-go. Why wouldn't they pull him up?
Well, he was hurt. I don't know if he's healthy.
He's been sidelined for how long? He has to be healthy by now.
Yeah, I would hope. I think he's playing.
I think he's going to be there.
Oh, that's good. I'm psyched to watch him. He's butt fun to watch.
But, of course, now all these teams, all the NBA teams are arriving in Orlando, and they just got to sit in their hotel rooms for 2 days.
Right.
And they can't leave besides going to get something to eat.
Right.
Anyway, speaking of the NBA, Adam Silver, apparently his level of concern has increased. I don't know. I'm just waiting for the NBA to say, no, we're shutting it down. I'm just waiting for that. I just expect it. Like, all these teams are arriving in Orlando, you know, yesterday and today, and
they just happen to pick a spot where there's so many young people testing positive.
You know, he's more worried now about the pandemic because, like you said, more people are getting positive tests and all these players are testing positive. He's open to it if it gets really bad. I'm just expecting it because that's the way we live now. Everything's just bad news.
Hmm.
More great news for the sports world, by the way, if you're a golf fan.
Yes.
The Ryder Cup was canceled.
Well, they just pushed it back a year, but it's probably for the best.
Yeah, postponed. Canceled
this year. Scheduled for September 25th through the 27th at Whistling Straits in Kohler, Wisconsin. They said, no, we're going to move it to 2021.
What's going
to
happen with the ticketing? Do you have any idea? Like, are they going to do the lottery again?
I'm not sure. I assume if you had tickets, they're good for next year.
Yeah,
are you grasping Valdez? You trying to get in?
Well, I try to just do the lottery every year for that. And Masters.
Nerd.
I know. And the PGA Championship.
I
got my email for the PGA Championship, so I'm in that lottery, too, at Kiowa.
You have to have a lottery for the PGA Championship?
Yeah.
Every year, or is it just because it's at Kiowa and it's difficult to get in and out of that?
I think it's every year. I'm on some sort of golf ticketing list because I get email every single week.
God, I would unsubscribe from that so quick. They would send me no more emails.
Yeah, they're trying to send me the Dublin, Ohio.
Unsubscribing never seems to work. I went on a mission for about 3 or 4 days where every trash email I got, I hit unsubscribe. And it didn't seem to slow it down at all. And I just went back to just deleting them.
Yeah, there's just so many of them.
It just seems like if you unsubscribe on one list, they add you to another list.
Right.
Over the phone yesterday, I canceled a service. I'm not going to say what it was because everybody's a potential sponsor. But this woman was so aggressive in trying to keep me with the service. I couldn't believe it. Mm. She was offering me like 50% discount. I said, not interested. She was offering just offering me everything.
She didn't offer you anything that titillated you.
Zero.
You hate this service.
No, I don't hate the service. I just don't I don't use the product. So why would I pay for a product that I'm no longer
Type it in the chat. I'm kind of curious.
I mean, it's not a big thing, but I mean, I just don't use it.
Yeah.
Typing it in.
Yeah. He's just typing it in right now.
Company
he's typing trying
it
to
in.
Protect. Oh yeah.
It's a pretty big company. I don't want to burn bridges, but it's just I had reduced the service already, and then I wasn't using that reduced service, and I said, "Well, this is finished."
Well, that
just
particular
cancel.
That
cancel.
Well, you can use that as a tax write off.
I don't think we get those.
Really?
Anymore.
Well, I'm just saying. You use it for work.
Okay, but it's such a minimal amount.
It is.
It would be so. I'd feel so nubbins.
Everyone's consuming that online now. It just is.
Tax write-offs are the dodo bird.
I'm with you on that, Jason.
All right, more good news before we go to break.
Give us more good news, please.
Bruce Arians did an interview with the Tampa Bay Times, and he said, he's 67. And he's had cancer a couple times, and he's all worried about it. He says, every NFL player, this is a quote, we've got to be careful. The players, they're all going to get sick. He says, every single player is going to get sick. It's just a matter of how sick they get. Of course, the NFLPA does not want to play any preseason games. Right now, they're scheduled for two. And the NFLPA wants to eliminate all the preseason games. So more good news from the sports world.
Great. He's also in Florida, and you see different reports, but I read one where they said like a lot of the ICU units are full, 90%. The trends, it might be young people, but the hospitals, some of them are at capacity. So he's in that environment where not only is you getting the national news, but you're getting the local news, and you probably are super pessimistic if you're there.
Arian said he's going to wear a mask and a face shield.
I don't blame him.
He's going to double it up.
Good for him.
Get sick.
Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah, he's cool. Had cancer three times. I said twice. Wow. He said it three times.
For Arians, he could be in the booth. He's been an offensive coordinator basically his entire career.
Yeah.
And he's been a head coach too, but he could be in the booth if he wants to, isolate a booth. Tom Brady's going to be running the offense. Let's be real. Brady is going to run that offense. He's been doing these volunteer workouts.
It's hard to head coach months. From the booth. It's just hard to do that. It's okay
Some
for
of these head coaches, you know, delegate anyway.
Yeah, right? But you got to be on the side.
He may, since this is a different year, but you know, some of these guys just like to be down in the trenches.
Yeah, come on, they all do. Especially head coaches. Nobody head coaches from the booth.
Yeah.
All I know is Brady's going to be slinging it in that offense because Arians likes to go. Vertical.
Wait a second. I know it was an outlier, but who was the head coach? Wasn't an SEC coach who was sick? Who did coach from the booth this year, like in his hospital bed?
No. Yeah, that was Hugh Freeze from Liberty.
Okay, it was Liberty.
The head coach of Liberty. He was in a hospital bed up in the booth.
What was his deal?
I can't remember what it was. If Pete's on,
he was actually in a bed that
he was
they
laying
had
down
up.
Laying down in a bed, coaching the game.
That's amazing.
He's pretty hardcore.
That is amazing.
I don't remember what laid him up, but he was definitely banged up.
That's amazing.
I'll look that up.
I think he had a back injury or something. That's why he was laying down.
Right. Now, did they have it propped up, or was he laying down? Like, how the hell do you do that?
I think he was propped up.
He had to have been propped up, right?
It was for their game against Syracuse.
Right. Well, that's amazing.
Well, Maryland beat Syracuse, they're terrible.
He had a back injury that included a potentially life-threatening staph infection.
Oh, my God. So that's why
That was pretty serious. Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, you don't want to mess with that staph.
No, don't mess with the staffy.
No. Didn't one of us, did you have that one time? Did you have staph like on your nose or something? No. You never had
a staph infection, no.
You had some random infections, but it was never staph.
Oh, I'm sure I've had some infections, but I definitely haven't had a staph infection like Grant Hill.
What was the name of the thing? You had one or two infections on your face.
Perioral dermatitis.
Valdez has it, yes.
Nice job, Valdez.
Yeah, very well done. Haven't had one of those outbreaks in quite a while.
Yeah, you're looking pretty good, bud.
Of course, I look silly.
Got to take a break. When we come back, we'll reconnect with John Herman, who we had on the show a couple months ago. He's the chief legal officer for Novavax, which is a local company which just received $1.6 billion for a COVID vaccine. So we'll connect with John Herman next here on The Junkies.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up in just a few, we're going to connect with John Herman, who is the chief legal officer for Novavax. We connected with him a couple months ago. There are a ton of companies all across the globe trying to find a cure for COVID, and Novavax is right here in Gaithersburg, and they've been working on a COVID vaccine, and the government just gave them $1.6 billion to continue down that path.
Yeah, they're looking for 100 million doses for the American people by the end of the year.
All right, John, are you with us?
John's up early.
I am.
He's zooming in with us. We can see him on the Zoom.
Hey, what's up, John?
Hey, Jason, how are you?
Good, buddy. Hey, congratulations, man. That's huge news.
Unbelievable, right? Unbelievable. Yeah. No, the little company from Maryland here is, you know, competing with major pharmaceuticals from all over the world to try to put an end to this this horrible pandemic that we're suffering through and make it safe, really safe, for us to go outside and you know, interact with everybody around the world. So,
are you the first company? Are you the first American company to be awarded the money by the federal government?
No. So the U.S. government came together and they put all the agencies like the FDA, HHS, DOD. They all came together and they created this Operation Warp Speed, and that's what the government calls this initiative to promote technology that'll lead to a vaccine. We are by far the biggest grant that the U.S. government has made to date. I see that John has his finger up in the air.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to ask to give us some perspective on the companies you're competing against and the size of Novavax compared to some of those other companies and just how big they are and how long they've been in business compared to how long Novavax has been at it. Just give us some perspective on that.
Absolutely. So the big boys out there, and you know, you're going to recognize the names right away: Merck, Pfizer, Sanofi, Johnson & Johnson. They're all creating vaccines. They've all been in the vaccine business for a long, long time. Novavax has been in the vaccine business. We're a development company. We don't have a product on the market right now. We've been developing vaccines for years. We have a very, very strong candidate. We've gone through phase 3 clinical trials with our flu vaccine, and we were all ready to sort of take the flu vaccine, better flu vaccine than the ones that are out there right now, bring it into the market, and then COVID hit. And so we switched gears and focused all of our attention right on, you know, the coronavirus situation. And then since January, when we got the genetic sequence, we're now in clinical trials. And we've been talking with, you know, the U.S. government, governments from all over the world, CEPI, which is a collective of various funding mechanisms that have a global interest in providing vaccines around the world. They gave us about $400 million back in May when I talked to you the first time. But this comes in now, and it's the U.S. government's way of saying, look, we're putting a bet on you guys, and we're going to fund you guys to continue the development, push this thing from phase 1 quickly into phase 2, into phase 3, or get an emergency use authorization from the U.S. FDA, build out the manufacturing scale that you need to so that we can make hundreds of millions of doses of this product and put it out there as quickly as possible.
Where are we in the timeline on this, John? Like, where are you? So you're in your clinical trial. So you're in phase 1. What does that mean? Can you explain to us?
Yeah, absolutely. So vaccines traditionally go through a phase 1 is the first time you go into humans. You do a lot of preclinical, and normally, guys, and I think you guys know this because you're watching the news a lot, it normally takes about 10 years to bring a vaccine from start to finish all the way to a licensure where you're allowed to sell it into the market. So this is an incredibly compressed time frame that we're working under here. We started phase 1 back in May. And what you do is you do it in a relatively small group. We've got 130 subjects that received our vaccine down in Australia. And you get those results. You're looking for safety, and you're looking for an immunogenic reaction to the vaccine. You're looking to see that the body is creating antibodies against coronavirus, right? If you can demonstrate that to everybody's satisfaction, then you get to move into phase 2.
What percentage needs to show that? What percentage of your subjects?
It's a good question, Eric, and because there isn't a vaccine, because there is no precedent here. You know, we don't have any experience with coronavirus, with this particular coronavirus before. So is it going to be 40% effective, 60% effective, 70, 80, you know, it's hard to know exactly what percentage is going to, you know, qualify for a licensure at this point. The FDA has been a little bit vague because they don't know themselves what's going to happen. No vaccine has gotten that far along that the FDA is going to say, yeah, that's good. There are vaccines that are in phase two right now. We're about to go into phase two. We're going to get our phase one results in a couple of weeks, and then we can roll this.
Are you on pins and needles? Like, just waiting for that? Like, are you dying every day?
Absolutely, except that we have a lot of confidence because we've been testing it in animals. We've been testing it in primates and baboons. You know, baboons are, you know, I hate to say this to you guys, but they're very similar to us. You know,
very similar to cakes. I know that.
Well,
By the way, why are you testing people in Australia and not here?
It's a great question, JP. So what happened is we wanted to get going so quickly. Traditionally, here in the United States, you have to do what's called a toxicity study, mm-hmm. which you tested in animals to ensure that there isn't any sort of toxic issues associated with providing the vaccine. That takes 3 months. Australia allows you to do that in parallel with your human testing if you've got history with the technology that is the underlying technology of our vaccine. And we've got a lot of history making recombinant vaccines here. What we're making proteins, okay? And it's a relatively simple, but it's very elegant. We create these proteins that are derived from the same genetic sequence as SARS-CoV-2. And they fold up together. They look like the virus, but they're not the virus, and they won't make you sick. So you put them into the body, you generate all these antibodies into the human body. We also have this adjuvant that we add to our vaccine that promotes the body's ability to make antibodies. And so you can make, instead of making thousands of antibodies, you're making millions of antibodies. So we started in Australia because we could get into there quicker. And now we're going to roll it back into the United States with phase two. And once we get through phase two, then we'll go into it's going to be one of two things here, guys. Either they say phase two is good enough, and we're going to give you guys a special emergency use authorization. So we're going to be able to put this out into the public right away because we've got such great phase two results, and there's a pandemic out there, and there's a need. Or they're going to say do an expedited phase three trial, which typically involves many thousands of patients. We're gearing up for both. We don't know which way it's going to go, but under this contract that we have with the U.S. government, we're going to be making many, many hundreds of thousands of doses and we expect to deliver 10 million doses before the end of this year. So
wow.
So John, that trial you did, maybe I missed this, sorry, but that trial you did with the 130 Australians, you haven't gotten those results back yet?
It's coming in any week, Jason.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah. So, you know, we know it's safe because we've been monitoring. We've got a special safety monitoring board that's watching these patients to make sure that they're not reacting, that they're not getting COVID, that they're not. So we're monitoring the safety. We're confident that the safety is not going to be an issue. We just need to see in humans that the body is reacting the way that it's been reacting in mice and rats and baboons and so forth. So
right. Have you noticed? Obviously, the good news is a lot of people don't like to hear good news, but there's good news out there that the death rate has gone down, and a lot of that is because people are assuming because of younger people getting it, and I buy that. It makes sense to me.
Yep.
There's also the theory, though, that it's mutating and that sometimes these viruses become less lethal for whatever reason. It's over my head, a lot of it. Have you noticed that? Are you noticing any mutations in it so far?
Yeah, so we have an amazing team of scientists, epidemiologists, and virologists that are watching all of this really closely, Eric. And you're right, viruses mutate, and this one's no exceptions. We actually built a vaccine back in 2017 to SARS, which is a coronavirus. It was one of the earlier versions of the coronavirus. And then MERS came along, and we built a vaccine for that. It never proliferated to the extent that we needed to actually put it in, you know, put our vaccine out there and put it into humans. But it does evolve. It does change. It does mutate. Whether it becomes more or less lethal or create more or less sickness is an open question right now. And our scientists are seeing variations that we get sera from convalescent patients from all over the world that they can look at and sort of analyze and understand what's going on.
Is it fair to say that they typically weaken over time, or is that not a fair statement?
You know, it's an interesting phenomena that happens because the virus is trying to survive, right? It's a living organism, so it's evolving to adapt to the situation, which is humans are developing antibodies that protect itself against it, and its desire is to survive. So, in some respects, it's evolving. Not necessarily always going to evolve to a weaker strain. There are situations where evolution has created stronger strains, and they're stronger because the body doesn't have any sort of antibody defense against it. That the virus is going to be weaker or stronger. If we've been exposed to an earlier version of COVID and we develop antibodies to it, then as it mutates, we've got some protection. It's trying to mutate to a point where it's going to find a hole. It's going to find some way into the human body and be able to proliferate there in the human body without the antibodies attacking it. So it's a game that plays. It's an ecology or an evolutionary game that happens between the human body and the virus itself.
John, do your people there have a suggestion for the Redskins' name change?
I really don't, guys.
They got bigger fish to fry. Bigger fish to fry.
By the way, John, my body reacted to your company's stock price yesterday. It's up to $104.56.
How about that?
31% bump yesterday.
I told my guy, John, I said, buy, buy, buy.
Yes. Hey, you know, guys, I was on the show in May, and I told you guys that there was good things coming. So I don't know if any of you took my advice and
We're scared, but now I'm not. I'm banking on you, too, just like the government's banking on
you. Guys, give me Rom's number. I'll call him, and maybe he can he can be your test pony here for Novavax. No, you know, here's another, you know, the little company that could.
So much margin.
We were at $4 in December.
Oh, incredible.
Such a winner.
You know, and our market.
Yeah, there's hope for Entercom.
Well, that tells me you're even richer than you were before.
Bye, bye, bye.
John, we got to run. Really appreciate your time. Congrats on the $1.6 billion grant.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you.
Hopefully this
thing
happens.
Thank you, guys. All right, we'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you, John.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
John Herman, who's the chief legal counsel for Novavax, which is based right here in Gaithersburg. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.